Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Former Governor Ed Whitcomb has died. He served as a B-25 navigator in World War II, escaped from POW camps, and in retirement decided to sail across the Atlantic alone in a 30-foot sailboat. About 15 years ago, he bought a secluded cabin overlooking the Ohio River to work on his writing. His books include Escape from Corregidor, about, among other things, swimming through shark-infested waters after breaking out of a POW camp. He also wrote books about his life and sailing exploits. Whitcomb, who was the state's oldest surviving ex-governor, lived with his wife Evelyn in a house in the remote river community of Rome, population fewer than 100 people. We visited with him for Indiana Weekend 3 years ago. When I arrived, the governor was on his front porch in a rocking chair in a pressed white shirt and red tie, a smile for everybody, including the neighborhood children who come to visit the Whitcombs every day. As we talked, it began to rain, but we stayed dry on the porch in a couple of rocking chairs, and Whitcomb talked about how he found his house and Evelyn, who he married earlier that year. Let's describe where we are, because we're on the front porch of your house.
Yes.
Is Rome the former, I guess Rome must be the former county seat of Perry County, and there's a historic old courthouse here right out your front yard with a big lawn around it. You are out here in an immaculately pressed white shirt with a red tie. You look so distinguished.
I have distinguished, yes. This place has a long history. This was a tavern at one time, a roadhouse. It's about built in about 1825. And we saw this place, and it was just about to fall down. We rescued it, and we got Amish carpenters to work on it. Boards in the floors in here where it had come loose. Dogs would get in there and chasing rabbits and squirrels and stuff. And it was in terrible shape. And I can tell you, everything you see when you go in the house and come out of the house is new.
You love this part of the state. The Ohio River.
Oh, yeah. This is home. This little town of Hayden, where I was born, my parents and my ancestors all there, and that many old friends. And I was just telling everyone, when I go back to my graduation class, senior class, I'm the only one there, being 95. But I'm very comfortable in that Southern Indiana.
Why do you like Southern Indiana so much? It's home. That's a big thing.
Sure. Everything goes back to that.
I like the story of when you were a young man, you jumped on a train and left home to go out east.
Yes. I explained that by saying that I looked around and saw that my father was born and raised in this little town. His father had been born and raised there in that little town, and they had spent their life, and I decided I wanted to get out and see some of the world myself.
Tell me about Rome. What was this place?
Rome, Indiana. We're on the, you look out the window, half a mile here is the Ohio River. Runs east and west right past our property. There is a entanglement of roads and streets which you just got acquainted with. Coming in here, the easiest thing in the world is to get lost.
Well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to admit to a navigator like you, a World War II airman and navigator, a fellow who circumnavigated the whole world in a sailboat by himself, but I did get a little bit lost coming here.
Well, you don't need to be embarrassed by that. I get lost coming in here myself.
This is kind of a remote area. Is that part of the charm for you? Is that we're away from everything?
Yes, and in a sense it is. It's far from anything I ever experienced in my life before. And the lady you just met is Evelyn, and we were married about 6 months ago after about 14 years of being acquainted. Now here, looky here.
Who are these young guys? Some of the youngsters from the neighborhood?
Who is this? Who is it? Come on. Come on. Give me a hug.
I'm tiny.
Come and give me a hug. Oh, I missed this. I missed that.
So But you were saying for many years, you lived in a cabin. You were governor of Indiana. You moved to a cabin overlooking the Ohio River.
It's a long story. I don't know if you want that much.
I admire that. No, I'm not, you know.
I was involved in a lot of activities, and I wanted to sail. And the time came when I could sail, and time came when I wanted to write a book. And I tried that at home. Hayden is 120 miles northeast of here. It's my home, and it's a little bigger than this, about 200 or 300 people. But I had too many interruptions. But I had a friend. Do you remember Warren Atkinson had the Atkinson Hotel? He and I bought property on the Ohio River, and I visited him many, many times, and I found a place that I liked myself, and I bought it. Then, in writing, I found I couldn't get anything done at home. So I came down and bought that cabin, built a cabin, and started working on it. And then, you're going to get the rest of the story.
Governor, I have all the time in the world. I love your stories. That's okay.
One day, a new local newspaper advertised a computer class for senior citizens at the Perry Central School in Perry County. So I dressed up and went over there, and the instructor had people lined up along the wall, had their computers on the wall, and instructed them on the use of various parts of the computer. Then he said, I would like for you to write the name of a friend on the monitor so he would see it. Well, I had sat down beside an old gray-headed lady when I got there. I never saw her before in my life. And I noticed she wrote up on the monitor, Edgar Whitcomb. I had campaigned in this county when I ran for governor. I'd spoke at the Legion, spoke at different places, and in the newspaper, on the radio, and TV. So the next day...
She said she didn't know who you were?
But it turned out she lived in the country, 23 miles through the woods. And the next morning after that, her car showed up at my log cabin on the river.
And 3 years ago, they were married. Former Governor Edgar Whitcomb and the former school librarian and longtime civic volunteer Evelyn Gayer. Whitcomb's colorful life began early, jumping a train to see the world at age 16, serving as a navigator on Air Force bombers in the Second World War, captured by the Japanese, two escapes from POW camps, came home, went to law school, elected governor in 1968, then in his 70s, heads out in a 30-foot sailboat across the Atlantic. Governor Whitcomb died on Thursday at age 98.
I'm going away to leave you, love. I'm going away for a while. But I'll return to you sometime if I go 10,000 miles. The storms are on the ocean, the heavens...
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Former Governor Ed Whitcomb has died at the age of 98 at his home in the southern Indiana town of Rome. A World War II Air Force bomber crewman who was captured by Japanese forces and managed to escape twice, he became a lawyer and politician after the war. He left office more than 40 years ago, but Whitcomb managed to stay busy. Remarkably, he sailed across the Atlantic alone on a 30-foot sailboat while in his early 70s. That's the subject of one of his four books. 3 years ago, we visited with the governor and his wife, Evelyn. Tell me about this community where you live.
Well, it's just people so nice here, and we have little kids that are just our pride and joy. That's what's good about it. Friendly people.
I saw the young girl from a couple doors down.
Yes, yes. Beautiful little girl.
Tell me about do you call him Ed? Do you call him...
They call him Ed.
He's a person of great curiosity ever since he was a little...
Adventurous, kind, gentle, just a wonderful person.
Some people kind of slow down and everything as they go along. Does he still have that adventurous spirit,
yes,
you think?
Yes, I think so, yes.
People still know him? And
yes. I think it's fun as you go down the street and someone or sitting in a restaurant eating and someone says, oh, that's Governor Whitcomb. You know, and that's kind of nice after this many years. And he's always glad to see friends. And we say about book signings, we see old friends and meet new friends. That's the important thing.
And what's that like?
That's fun. I love it.
What did you think when you first saw that cabin overlooking the Ohio River?
That was beautiful. It's breathtaking over there. As he said, it's close to heaven, and it is.
What is it about? I mean, for folks who were from, say, the region up near Chicago or from Indianapolis, what's the character of the Ohio River counties like Perry County? This is a different part of the state, isn't it?
I think friendliness. You know everyone, and everyone knows you.
One thing I noticed just getting here, it's a little bit remote, isn't it?
Did you come down 66?
I did, yes.
Okay. Well, if you'd come down 37 to 70, it's a lot better road. But that's a scenic route.
Tell me about this part of the world, though. You've traveled so much and done so many things. Why southern Indiana? I mean, you could live in Indianapolis or anywhere else you wanted to live.
The simple answer is seclusion to write my book. I ended up writing about four books.
Escape from Corregidor, your first book.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
I think you escaped twice, but one time, if I remember the story, you had to swim through shark-infested waters.
Same waters, two times, at night.
What was that like?
That was like doing something you had to do if you wanted to survive, just about. You had to get away from the Japanese in a prison camp.
And then 2 years ago, you finished your book on the Around the World sailboat.
Yeah, it was called Sealing 2. That was the name of the boat.
What in the world made you do that?
I had a sailboat, and I had it in a harbor up in Massachusetts, and I wanted to explore the Greek islands. I wanted to get involved in Greek history and Greek mythology and learn about those things. And I found that when I was Secretary of State and Governor and all these different things, there wasn't time for they couldn't do that. Then I was about 71 when I finally went out of office as governor and had the freedom to do it. Then's when I started sailing. And the sailing experiences were delightful beyond description, in that I sailed alone for the most part and found it just enjoyable beyond belief. The scenery at night, sunsets and sunrise in the morning and stars and moon at night.
Were there any close calls, big storms, giant waves?
No. Never felt that I was on the edge of anything.
No kidding. How did you, was that lonely? How long were you
never,
out?
Never lonely. I, of course, had radio and could communicate and never had any problem like that. I was there because I wanted to be in. I didn't.
You weren't marooned. This was by choice, right? You're 95. You're in great shape. What do you attribute that to?
I take no pills, take no medicine of any kind, no special foods. I don't have any aches and pains of any kind, and I'm free as a bird.
Is this a matter of good genes or clean living or what?
Inheritance.
Tell me one story from your sea voyage or your time in the service or your time in the governor. Tell me a story that sticks with you, something that changed your outlook, that made you who you are.
One thing that bothers me a great deal is that I was a navigator on two of the greatest mass flights in history of our country, like B-25s. Two fleets of B-25s flew to Japan, and they turned out to be fiascos. Fiascos, terrible. Many of our planes were destroyed. We had no fighter protection. We had a lot of things that were overlooked totally and completely.
Former Indiana Governor Ed Whitcomb, speaking from his home in the tiny community of Rome in southern Indiana, west of Louisville. He's from another small community down that way, Hayden. He's always been something of an adventurer. At age 16, he told his mother he was headed for Sunday school, but went down to the railroad tracks instead and hopped a series of freight trains to get to the East Coast, where he toured Boston and Washington. He was eventually picked up by the police for jumping trains and sent home. His mother met him at the door and said, "Well, that's one long trip to Sunday school."
Go back water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi. Keep on shining on
me. Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me.
Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
A little departure from our schedule this week as we celebrate the life of former Governor Edgar Whitcomb, who died Thursday at age 98. Governor Whitcomb grew up in southern Indiana, traveled the world, and came back here, living close to the Ohio River, which he loved. One of the places he cherished was the historic river town of Madison, Indiana. Indiana Weekend was in Madison a year ago, and we met Nathan Montoya, an IU grad who moved there with his wife Anne after stops in New York, Europe, and Dallas. I talked to Nathan outside his Village Lights bookstore in the heart of Madison's downtown. Describe Madison for someone who's not been here. You saw kind of with fresh eyes yourself 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh yeah, it was an eye-popper for us. We have Italianate and federal architecture up and down Main Street. It's something you just don't see. There's nothing like it anywhere else in Indiana. You look down the street and you see for blocks the original buildings intact, beautiful fronts. All the way up. Some of them gorgeously restored. Others haven't gotten a lot of attention, but the original material is still there. And again, they've not been bulldozed. It was an accident of history, as it were, when river trade fell off and the population moved largely up onto the hilltop, and strip malls and big boxes and all went in up there, and the downtown area was largely neglected, and that was a good thing, because they didn't go in and say, well, let's get rid of this old building and that old building. They just sort of left them. And so they're here. You just don't see this anywhere else. You have to go to Charleston or Savannah or someplace like that to see this kind of architectural beauty. It is a unique environment, and it's walkable. Again, we live upstairs. We live right in the heart of downtown Madison, and we can walk down, stroll down to the river, 2 blocks to the river, which was a major factor in our choosing Madison as well. The river is beautiful. The Grand Old Ohio. Yeah, she's a beautiful river.
What's it like to live here? I would think there's a community. You must know these other business owners pretty well.
Yes, the businesses, we do know one another quite well. It's a very it's a tight-knit community, very supportive, a lot of mutual support. We recommend one another all the time. People will go into one shop and looking for something, they get sent to another shop. It's a very welcoming community. It's warm. It's a warm community. It's peaceful.
And this reminds me of when you walk around Nashville or Bloomington sometimes. I mean, people, it's a destination. People come here and they come to see Madison.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Madison itself is, people come to see it, not just the shops. We're not just a place to go to buy this or buy that. Of course, the shops are important. It's the retail environment here that helps us to restore buildings and to afford the paint and the plaster and the bricks. But it's not a museum. We are a real community, and it's not a museum, nor is it a mall. There are real stores here. You go down the street here to Tillo's Produce. It's a family fruit and vegetable company that's been there for many generations, and we go down there and get our fruits and vegetables and our eggs. There are grocery stores. We don't have a hardware right now down here. That's something that we really need. The big box on the hill kind of blew them away. But it is very much an honest, a real community. It's not Disneyland.
You have events like River Roots.
We have River Roots. That is a folk music and folk arts festival. It takes place in our Bicentennial Park. Very large park it's basically an event park right on the river. It's a spectacular location. And so River Roots happens once a year in the spring. In the late summer, we have River Fest. That's river, as in
just
ribs.
What a vegetarian like you likes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
A big rib fest.
Rib fest. It's barbecue and blues. It's another big one. And then there is also the regatta for 4th of July weekend, the boat race, which is...
Hydroplanes.
It's go fast and turn left. And we have the Chautauqua, which is an arts and crafts fair. And that's not down on the river, but it's near the river.
In any city, people are going to have differences of opinion about how to move forward and what constitutes progress. Going to get you in trouble here.
You sure are. Well, as you said, with any city, there is always debate over how to move forward. Now, and here, well, what is moving forward? In a way, moving forward is moving backwards because it's a historic landmark district. And so we have to look back in order to look forward. We have to look back at what we still have that came from before and how to hone that on into the future and what's coming. And that is what a lot of us think will propel us successfully into the future, the preservation and honoring of what we have here. It is so rare, so unique, and not everybody sees it that way. There are still the people that go, why do we need that old building? You know, because they may have just been looking at it all their lives and don't realize, you know, what a jewel it is right in front of them. And it's such a joy to hear someone who has perhaps been thinking that way, realize, wait a minute. And I just recently, I heard that come out of someone's mouth, and at a high level, shall we say, in the city. Well, maybe we've been taking things for granted. And so there's always that dialogue. And when you have something like a National Historic Landmark District with historic guidelines, you have the tension between restrictions to preserve and the ability of the population to follow those restrictions and still afford to own a building and maintain it.
Nathan Montoya, who we met last year on a visit to Madison and his Village Lights bookstore. The recent glimpse of warmer weather has us pining for spring, so we might mention that Madison's signature Indiana Roots Fest Music and Folk Arts Festival is May 20th and 21st this year, and their Riverfest Blues Festival, that's Riverfest as in barbecue ribs, is in August. And that's our show for today, a look back at our visit 3 years ago with former Governor Edgar Whitcomb when he visited his home on the Ohio River in Rome, Indiana. If you missed any of that, you can catch the interview online at indianapublicradio.org. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Drop us a note sometime if you have a question or comment about the show at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.